What if season two has now finished its 9-day airing spree on Disney Plus? So today I'm going to be talking about the season with full spoilers and whether I think it is better than season one. Let's review. Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning and welcome back to another review on a new MCU thing. It seems like we get one of these like every single month now. But anyways, what if season two aired on Disney Plus? It aired every day in a row, I believe, for like 9 straight days. Yeah, there were 9 episodes starting on like the December the 22nd. And just a few hours ago, the 9th and final episode aired on Disney Plus. And what I'm doing today is going through every single one of these episodes and giving you my thoughts on them. I didn't want to do individual reviews, and I know I have to do one every single day, and I was not going to spend that much time on each one of these episodes, which a lot of them were quite disposable, but anyways, I wanted to do a review of the whole season, but I sat here getting ready to write my notes for what I thought of the whole season. I realized that didn't really work for a show like this, where each episode is an anthology, so because of that, I'm just going to be telling you guys my overall thoughts on each episode, not overall thoughts, but thoughts on each individual episode, starting from episode 1, going all the way to episode 9, and then summing it up in whether I think this is better than season 1, or whether it's around the same or worse than season 1. Now, for me personally, I wasn't the biggest fan of season 1. I did enjoy a lot of the episodes, especially the Strange Supreme episode or the Murder Mystery Avengers episode. I really enjoyed the Ultron episode. And I had a particular, you know, soft spot for the Zombies episode just because I like supernatural horror like that. But other than that, I found a lot of the episodes to be pretty forgettable. I know I just listed like half the season, but the other half of the season I was not a big fan of. I didn't really like how it culminated in a finale and like an Avengers-style episode. I didn't think that really fit the show. But that being said, season two, the trailers didn't sell me. I looked at the episode list and I was just not really interested in really many. There's only one or two that I was interested in, and they were all like way later on in the season. So it was with very... It was with slight annoyance that I sat down to watch episode one, like, 8 days ago now. And I've had definitely very, like, wildly different experiences with a lot of these episodes, and very different experiences from what other people have had as well. Because some people have said that certain episodes are their favorites, and those are definitely not episodes I enjoyed very much at all. So this is going to be really interesting. I want you guys to let me know in the Q&A section if you're listening on Spotify. What was your favorite of these episodes? You don't have to write out the full title. Just list, like, someone in it, and I'll probably know what it is. Or just give me the episode number, and I'm very curious to hear what you guys thought of each episode. With that said, let's get started with talking about each episode and what I thought of them. Episode 1, what if Nebula joined the Nova Corps? Now, looking online, it seems like a lot of people really enjoyed this episode, and I really respect that. For me personally, I was not a big fan of the episode. I really like the aesthetic of it, kind of this Blade Runner style version of Xandar. I liked going back there. Nebula being the lead, interesting choice. I think she works better as a side character. We meet, you know, the Nova Prime again, and I enjoyed seeing her. But I still feel like, again, the biggest thing for me in this episode is that all the twists were really predictable. It was really interesting to see Jude Law back to play Yon Rogg. I can't really say that I ever expected him to play that role again after Captain Marvel. While it was nice seeing him, I thought it was kind of a waste of his character. Like I said, a really predictable twist involving Nova Prime. And with Nebula herself, I don't think she works as a great lead. I definitely really enjoyed Howard the Duck in this episode because I just like that character. And I didn't really know he was in this season, so I was really excited to see him. Korg was kind of just an annoyance. I feel like he kind of just showed up every few episodes in this season. I feel like there was definitely more of an attempt to have like certain characters be very consistently the main focus of the show, and Korg was one of them, and I'm kind of tired of that character. I don't know if it's because Thor Love and Thunder really burned me out of Taika Waititi, but I'm not a big fan of that character anymore. I feel like he's been overused, and I didn't really enjoy him as a comedic presence here, and a lot of the humor this season I thought fell really flat. And I think that was pretty big in this episode as well. Again, I like the aesthetic. It had kind of a cool crime, kind of, you know, corruption exposing plot. And that those political thrillers type of is my thing. But I think with the way the episode is executed, with how short time they had, I didn't really find much interesting. And I feel like even the setup involving Ronan, I feel like he was wasted. And I feel like by the end, the payoff felt very anticlimactic for what had been built up. So to me, a pretty underwhelming episode, a pretty underwhelming start to the season, and also just the pacing of it. Like, this episode felt like twice as long as it actually was, and I thought that was pretty disappointing. I can't say I was too looking forward to this episode too much, but it happened, and I watched it. episode 2, What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Now, from what I'm also being seen, this is one of people's least favorite episodes this season, and I think that's really interesting. Because for me personally, I actually really enjoyed this episode. Now, it's nowhere near one of the best episodes of the season, but I just thought it was a pretty solid. Actually, I shouldn't make it sound like I enjoyed it much more than I actually did. I thought this was a pretty solid episode, and that I really liked seeing a version of the Avengers in the 1980s. Now, I don't think they use that concept to its full potential, but I really liked seeing a younger Hank Pym, just like I did in season 1, except that was an evil Hank Pym. I liked seeing an actual good Hank Pym voiced by Michael Douglas, who definitely is not a voice actor, but I liked seeing him. I liked seeing Goliath, Bill Foster, and I liked seeing King T'Chaka as part of the main Avengers. I think Thor being around, I don't think we needed him. I feel like him being there kind of makes it too similar to the original Avengers from the first film directed by Joss Whedon. I don't know if we needed him, but I like seeing the other characters we've never seen in this time period. And then also then having the parallels between Hope as well as Peter Quill, young Peter Quill and young Hope Van Dyne, was an interesting twist on the episode. I think it added a lot. And I really enjoy Kurt Russell and I love him as Ego. And I really love Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, so anything that references that, I obviously enjoy, and clearly much more than some people who really do not like that movie. But I loved all that, and again, I thought tons of the action was a ton of fun. Again, the episode had a very simple plot, but I feel like it's the perfect thing for these What If episodes, where it's just Peter Quill comes to Earth, he looks like he's destroying everything, but he's really just grieving over his mom, but he's also just really sad by what he's been born into and what his father wants for the universe. And this episode didn't change the things quite up as much, because Peter Quill eventually goes good, and they kind of tease, you know, the Avengers going on further missions, and I think it'd be interesting to explore them more in the future if we ever get a chance to. Episode 3, What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas? Now, I was so excited for this episode because I love Jon Favreau, and I really like his character of Happy Hogan, again, clearly in the minority because some people got really worked up about this episode, and there were some very interesting surprises in here. Again, now we're going into full spoiler territory. I did not know going into the season. Justin Hammer returning, I did not expect that. And I believe Sam Rockwell came back to voice him. I forgot to check at the end of the credits of this episode. But I was not expecting this. This was one of the biggest surprises again. I wouldn't say like super pleasant surprise, but definitely something I didn't expect. I never thought we'd see him play that character again. And there's also been rumors that he could be returning in Captain America 4. Or not Captain America 4, but like the future Hulk film. I don't remember which one it was. But now, or I guess it was Armor Wars. And now seeing him back in this, or hearing him back in this, I think there's a really good chance they already have him signed on for something else. So it gives me, I wouldn't say excitement, but it would definitely surprise me. But I thought this episode was a big waste of potential. Now, I love Die Hard, and I love Christmas films, especially Christmas action movies. But this whole stuck in the Avengers Tower thing I thought could have been really fun. But the character set I thought was really boring. Having, you know, like, Darcy played by Kat Dennings, she isn't exactly one of my favorite MCU characters. And the whole concept of, you know, Happy having his own Hulk persona, I didn't really enjoy that. I thought, again, just the whole Christmas thing was kind of wasted. I was hoping for a more unique spin on the Die Hard formula. This wasn't that. And it just felt like a very lackluster episode with really nothing to give other than, again, that Justin Hammer surprise. And he was in a lot of this episode. And I can say, I guess I at least enjoyed that. But again, this was a bit of a nothing burger episode. I liked that it released on Christmas Eve and I watched it on Christmas Eve. But I wish there was more to this. I wish they had gotten more surprise MCU character than I wasn't expecting. But this episode really just failed to leave a mark. I know I feel like I'm repeating myself, but there just isn't much to say when it comes to this episode. I wish it was more fun and festive than it actually was. And I guess that's really all I have to say about this episode. Episode 4, What If Iron Man Crashed Into the Grandmaster? This was another, to me, pretty forgettable episode. It seems like, again, a lot of people really enjoyed this. And again, that's cool. But for me personally, I really enjoyed seeing Tony Stark leading an episode again and seeing him crash onto the Grandmaster, onto the trash planet. I don't know why, I forgot what it was called. Sakaar, I believe that was the planet's name. I really enjoyed seeing him as a lead again. I wish Robert Downey Jr. did get to voice the character, and there's a few characters in here where I wish their live-action versions did get to voice. One in particular kept showing up in the season that I'll say first next episode. But I feel like the voice actor they got instead of him actually sounded a lot like how I'd imagine Robert Downey Jr. if he wasn't actually on screen, so I feel like that worked. I like seeing a Gamora who is still under Thanos' rule, but it's kind of changed by this character, Iron Man, who's basically fighting for his own planet's free will from Thanos, and I really like the premise where he did manage to save his people, but he didn't make it through the portal. Because if you watch the original Avengers movie, he is so close from the portal closing up before he makes it back to Earth. And I feel like it makes sense that he wouldn't, in some realities, make it there in time. So him getting thrown into the Grandmaster, though, I did feel like this was a bit too much of a repeat of Thor Ragnarok. And I feel like the next episode has the same problem, where it kind of just feels like we're throwing a couple of movies together, and it doesn't feel like there's too much unique here. The racing scenes, I feel like, were kind of underwhelming. I feel like there should have been more insanity going on for an animated project. Again, Korg being here, I really could have done without him. I like Jeff Goldblum coming back as the Grandmaster. I didn't love that character in Thor Ragnarok, but I like Jeff Goldblum, so I liked his presence here. But beyond that, we obviously had Valkyrie again. She didn't have too much of a role here, but I like that character. When it comes to the actual plot of this episode, it's basically just them trying to get off Sakaar. But I did really like the ending where they went to Thanos and killed them. I thought that was a nice, interesting twist that I definitely was not expecting. Although I'm kind of wondering how one of those, you know, staffs from the Grandmaster's palace just managed to kill Thanos. Like, there's a few things like that in the season where I feel like it feels like certain weapons and stuff are being so overpowered or underpowered, depending on what the plot of these, the very flimsy plots of these episodes need. And that was one of the biggest ones for me. But I feel like, again, this is a pretty generic episode, and I don't have too much to say about it. Episode 5, What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper? And I feel like the title of the episode doesn't really give it a lot of oomph. I feel like it kind of underplays what the episode actually is. And to me, what it was a bit of a combination or, you know, a little bit of a mix-up of the first Avengers film, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and Black Widow. Because it kind of, again, feels like we're pulling from different MCU movies and just repeating the plot. But what I liked was that it kind of threw them together and kind of spun them in a blender and produced something pretty different once we got into the back half of the episode. I really enjoy seeing more of Peggy Carter and Steve's relationship. I feel like in the first Avenger, I really liked their romance. I feel like it was kind of underdeveloped. And because that movie had a pretty already quick pacing in terms of montaging through a lot, I feel like I wish we got more scenes of them two actually being a couple, or at least getting closer to one. And I feel like in this season we do get a lot of that, and I think this episode it really worked. Although again, the whole twist of Steve not actually being revived, I thought was really R-less rebooted. I thought was really obvious and incoming. But I liked seeing the first Avengers movie with Peggy Carter replacing Steve, and then I really enjoyed her and Natasha having a bit of a dynamic there. And again, I feel like the actress that got to play Natasha resembles Scarlett Johansson quite well. Now, the actor who I don't think does a very good job at playing a character is the actor they got for Steve Rogers. I feel like, while the other ones, when they recast, I think work fine, I don't feel like the actor they got to play Steve Rogers really resembles Chris Evans' version of the character at all. And I feel like there was a better casting there. And I feel like you could have probably gotten him. I feel like you would have wanted to do this. It's probably too expensive, especially for an animated show. But I liked how it put a couple of plots together, like I said. And continuing to build out Peggy Carter as a character, just how broken she is, how she keeps getting flung between these different time periods. And I will say, a lot of the best episodes in the season do involve her. And I really like, this was easily my favorite episode up to this point in this season. Because I feel like it had a clear focus. It actually wanted to focus on Peggy Carter as a character. And her once again sacrificing Steve in the final part of this episode was actually kind of heartbreaking, and even more so in another episode. In a couple of episodes time, I was really surprised how much emotion they were able to draw out of me from that. And again, I love Winter Soldier, so just going back to that period in the MCU, I found exciting. And bringing in Black Widow and bringing Melina back, I don't remember seeing the credits if Rachel Weisz voiced the character, but I really like her. And she was definitely one of the weaker parts of Black Widow, because her character was definitely underserved compared to the rest of the family. But I enjoyed seeing more of her here, and I feel like there is a place in the MCU to see more of her eventually. And I like that this maybe gave a bit of a tease as to what that could be, maybe turning a villain in the main timeline. She was definitely a villain in this. And I will say, tying the Red Room in with the Hydra Stomper, definitely a big surprise for me. I did not see that coming, and I enjoyed this episode quite a bit. Episode 6, What If Kahori Reshaped the World? Now, this episode was fascinating to me, because I turned on the episode just expecting another, what if Kahori reshaped the world? I saw the title beforehand, and I was really curious who this was. I was trying to do research into the comics. It seems like Kahori's a made-up character or an original character, and I'm always interested to see those, but I'm always kind of like, you have so many characters to pick from. I don't think you really need to make any new ones, and it really pays off. I mean, I know that Darcy, played by Kat Dennings, is now in the comics, and she was originally introduced in the MCU, but that feels like such an anomaly. this character I thought was a really interesting inclusion. And what I will say, I really liked that they had the guts to, for this episode, have it completely in a different language. I feel like a lot more people, especially people who watch mainstream entertainment, should be introduced to watching things with subtitles and watching things in other languages, because there are so many great stories being told across the planet, whether that's in multiple languages. Like, just yesterday, I went to go see Anatomy of a Fall. Half of that movie is in French, and I really enjoyed watching it. And I feel like more people who watch mainstream entertainment should be introduced to experiencing more content, or not content, that sounds so businessy, more movies and shows from other countries. I don't feel like they should, you know, play them down just because that you have to read the subtitles. And I think this episode is a nice introduction for that, because it's a very simple episode. It takes a very tried and true kind of almost Avatar, or, you know, like, what was that movie? Fern Gully kind of formula, and it kind of brings that into the MCU, and it does something very interesting. We have this new character named Kahori. She's a Native American, I believe, part of this village, and it involves the Tesseract, and it kind of involves Hela and Surtur, and I definitely did not expect them to be involved. But the whole episode plays as a completely original episode in the sense that there isn't really much connection to the MCU. It definitely has some very interesting historical connections, and I really enjoyed seeing that towards the end of this episode. But up until Strange Supreme showed up, there wasn't really much. And when he did show up, I was actually really confused as to what was going on, because up until that point, I was just kind of confused what this had to do with the MCU and what kind of what if really was this. But by the time we get to episode 9, it becomes clear the purpose of her character. Now, could it have been any other character and not a made-up character? Sure, but I did enjoy seeing the MCU from a new perspective and in a very different time period. And again, the story, it's very tried and true kind of come back, or like someone returning to their kingdom to free and all that. A very, very cliche plot. But I feel like that's the kind of thing where these episodes kind of thrive. The very simple plots. And I really enjoyed having, you know, a whole episode in a different language. I feel like it brought a very different flavor. And I seem to like this episode more than most people. I really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorites of this season. And I hope they take more risks like this. Not in the storytelling. The storytelling is extremely safe. But just in terms of aesthetics, and again, like, just having the whole episode, most of the episode is subtitled. I really appreciated that. Episode 7, What If Hela Found the Ten Rings? Now, I was hearing going into the season that this was one of the best episodes for people who had seen the whole season beforehand. And I think having seen the season, I 100% get why, and I really enjoyed a lot of this episode. I wouldn't go as far as say if I loved it personally, but I really liked this kind of twist on the Shang-Chi plot involving Hela. And again, I even liked at the beginning how they recreated that moment in the original Thor, except involving Hela's, you know, helmet or whatever you want to call it, battle helmet. And she gets sent down to Earth, kind of like Thor. She's super arrogant, but we actually get a redemption of her. And I would have 100% bet that that's not what was going to happen in this episode. But we do. She comes across Wenwu. Wenwu definitely, you know, feels attracted to her. But once they go apart and she goes on her kind of redemption quest by going to Ta Lo, the little forest thing we had in Shang-Chi, and we kind of meet some of the characters there, some of which I thought were kind of familiar. I don't know if they were in Shang-Chi or not. I can't quite remember. But I thought this was a really fun episode. I really liked the martial arts action. Again, the action in the final battle this episode might have been my favorite part. Some of my favorite parts of the whole season. I liked Hela teaming up with Wenwu, and even where they leave off this episode, where they're kind of teaming up to travel across the Nine Realms to, you know, free people. Just like when they showed with Thanos, when he was about to, you know, give that knife to Gamora. Such an interesting final shot. Thanos recurs a lot in this season. It almost feels like the MCU is trying to bring back memories of the old MCU. I wonder why they're doing that. But I really enjoyed this episode. I really liked the premise. I really liked hearing more of Cate Blanchett as Hela in such a different way. And I almost feel like this episode gives a lot more context to Thor Ragnarok. Why she's such a dark character. How Odin treated her. And I really like that this episode actually shows that Odin was not a good person. Or at least I wouldn't say not a good person. But not exactly a good parent. And I feel like the MCU has done, at certain points, made him seem like the victim. Or a little bit more of a misunderstood king or father. When I feel like he's just never been the greatest person. He was always kind of shady. And I like that this episode definitely addressed that. And definitely used that as a bit of an explanation for why Hela turned out the way she did. And I think a lot of that is because of how Odin raised her. And this episode, I almost feel like, not only works as a standalone episode, provided more context to Thor Ragnarok, where I actually wasn't the biggest fan of Hela. I feel like this episode does her a lot better than that movie, to be honest. This was only like 20-something minutes long. And once again, it has quite a bit of plot impact into it for half an hour. And something you could have definitely seen play out over like an hour-long special. But again, I feel like the pacing of these episodes is slow enough to where you don't feel like you're rushing through the plot they have. And I did, again, really enjoy this episode. Episode 8, What If the Avengers Assembled in 1602? And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't think this is a popular opinion, but this was probably my favorite episode of the whole season. And that wasn't really much of a surprise for me. Going into this season, this was definitely the episode I was eyeing going in. Like, that is the episode I want to see. And I was pretty annoyed to see that it was episode 8. That means I would have to sit through a lot to get through this episode. And there was a lot more connective tissue in this season than I was expecting. One of the biggest ones being episode 5 to this episode, where we get, at the end of episode 5, Captain Carter is dropped into 1602 with Scarlet Witch, who's kind of almost like the witch to the king that was Thor, or initially Queen Hela, but she got taken by the little, you know, portal thing that was going on. And the kind of the big things at the Solvier is that the universe is collapsing and these, you know, massive natural disasters are going on. Thor is the king, and he's definitely a bit of a benevolent ruler. He's not the pure version of Thor that we have now in the MCU, but we have Nick Fury, we have Scarlet Witch, they're kind of acting as double agents working under him, and we have Captain Carter, who's been recruited from another universe to save them from whatever incoming doom is upon them. And Peggy Carter, definitely in this season, is taking up, almost seeming like she's going ahead into taking a more active role and a bit more of an active version of the Watcher. And I don't know if they're going to come up with a name for, like, the Intervener or something. Probably not, because that sounds stupid, and that's why I don't write these episodes. But I'm assuming they are going to give her a different title throughout the season. She was definitely the main protagonist of the season as a whole. Because, again, she shows up in, like, 3 different episodes. And this episode, I thought, was a ton of fun. This is one episode where the jokes genuinely landed. And I feel like the whole parody aspect of this show, where we're kind of parodying different movies of the MCU and doing a different version of how the Avengers assembled, really works, because it's in a different time period with different characters than we had initially. We have Ant-Man, and Paul Rudd is always such a delight. And I feel like because of that, it doesn't come off like you're kind of making fun of your universe in movies. But instead, it just seems like a really fun retelling that has great jokes and really fun, you know, like callbacks to historical stuff. And again, callback 1602, whether that's the wardrobe, and having Tony Stark be like kind of this thiever, I think that was a great direction to go. And having Steve, Scott Lang, and Bucky being another group of just, you know, thieves, I thought that was a really fun direction to go. And I actually really liked Steve Rogers and where he came from with the twist involving him. Although I thought the way he got to 1602 by just hitting the time stone, I don't think that made a lot of sense. But at the end of the day, it left off on a really great moment. Where once again, Peggy Carter, they're once again separated. Like, the amount of times these two have been separated. We had it, like, once in season 1, obviously in the first Avenger, and like, twice in this season. And I love the way they're kind of fleshing out this relationship more and more. That no matter what version of this character, or no matter how many different versions of Steve Peggy has met, she's still drawn to him no matter what universe they're in. I feel like Captain America is such a pure soul that makes sense. Now, I don't fully understand why he's a bandit in this time period, but either way, the ending was probably one of the most impactful emotional moments of this whole show. I think it definitely stuck with me more so because of that. And even the whole mystery thing of who was actually going to be the anomaly, the forerunner, as they call it, I didn't really know who it was going to be. I had a few different ideas in mind, but I was surprised when it was revealed to be Steve. And one of the twists in the season that really caught me off guard. Speaking of catching me off guard, let's talk about the finale. But overall, this was my favorite episode of the season. I don't think that's a popular opinion, but I could be wrong. I'm not too in touch with what people are thinking of these episodes. I've kind of heard some people on YouTube Shorts and stuff mention it here and there. But let's get into the finale, which blew my mind. Not always for the right ways, but it definitely surprised me. Episode 9, What If Strange Supreme Intervened? Now, as soon as I saw the title of the episode, I was pretty confident they were going to try to pull something where a Strange Supreme turns evil in some way. And they kind of reverse his redemption arc. Because it kind of just makes sense. Because the Watcher, we kind of saw, wanted, definitely thought of a higher purpose for Strange Supreme, but we didn't really know what that was going to be. And he's kind of been recurringly popping up during the Corey episode, during the Peggy Carter episode. And once again, or not Peggy Carter, but the 1602 episode. And once again, he shows up here. And as soon as he said he needed help with something, we go back and we kind of have Thanos, Infinity, Ultron, Killmonger trapped in these little bottles. And he was kind of taking universe killers, even though he's not really supposed to do that because the Watcher said you can't intervene like that. He's been doing that, and there's definitely a reason why. And I definitely knew it was going to tie into what happened in Season 1. Now, Strange Supreme's redemption in Season 1, I thought was a pretty satisfying redemption arc in terms of he went from wanting to do, willing, being willing to just take in demons to save Christine and reverse that absolute point or whatever. And but then by the end, realizing his universe is destroying, was willing to sacrifice himself for his whole world. But he wasn't given the opportunity to do that because it was too late. And then he fought alongside the Guardians of the Multiverse, and it seemed like, again, he would definitely be back. But here we are, but he just hasn't been able to accept that. And I think it makes sense, even though I would have preferred we just kept this redemption arc, kind of just left it alone. However, this episode definitely goes back in that direction by the end, where he sacrifices himself to save his universe, even though he'll never be born into it. But just to have his Christine live on, that was enough for him. And I think that definitely is an arc that makes sense for his character. Now, what absolutely threw me away was the amount that was in this, because this episode is absolutely bananas. Like, it starts off, and then the Strange Supreme wants Peggy to go rescue Kahori. He's trying to bring in the power of a bunch of these universe killers into the Forge so that he's able to use all of that and put it into himself, I guess, so that he's able to create a new universe and have a life with Christine. Obviously, it's not that simple, but we see multiple appearances from, you know, MCU characters that I didn't expect to see in her. Like, we had more of Hela, again, kind of that whole theme of having a few characters that are very much of the audience's characters that they're latching onto because they see them often in this season. And we got Thanos, once again, multiple times. We had Killmonger show back up, but obviously they didn't want to pay Michael B. Jordan because I don't think he had a single line in here. And the weird part was Peggy Carter lifting the Infinity Stone. Now, I haven't heard what people have thought about this, but this was definitely the worst part of the episode for me personally because it just didn't make a lot of sense because they're definitely trying to make Peggy Carter out to be this kind of, you know, universe-spanning character that was definitely all-powerful in the sense of compared to a normal human. But I didn't really understand how she was able to hold the Infinity Stone so comfortably. Like, Tony Stark, him even getting the stones, and he had a suit of armor on made out of nanotech, killed him, even just having them on. So I didn't really understand how Peggy Carter just was able to wield all of them at the same time, just on her costume. I don't feel like that makes a lot of sense. Again, I feel like with Ultron, since he was a robot, and he was an android, that makes sense. But I don't understand how one human being can harness all that power. With what we know so far, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But anyways, I guess I'll let that go. There's a lot of logic problems in this show that I feel like you kind of have to let go because it's an animated show and it's insane. But I really liked bringing Kahori back, and I really liked seeing her again. Obviously, we had her talking in English this time, and her interactions with Peggy Carter I thought were fun. I liked how Strange Supreme was going after her. And she was actually got speedster abilities, which I don't think she used in the initial episode 6. But this episode, I wouldn't say is one of my favorite episodes. It was, again, absolutely insane. There was so much action. This episode felt the most like an anime, if anything. And I guess, depending on your taste, you might really like that or really not. But people are just, there's like kaiju bits in here where people are just fighting all out with like massive monsters. And we get Strange Supreme just bringing out all those demons. He turned into one of those dragons he fought in episode 4 of season 1. What if, you know, whatever it was. Where Strange Supreme tried to save Christine. And again, this episode was just loaded with references and certain Easter eggs and stuff. And there were definitely a few things I noticed which were very interesting. But this isn't really the time for that. This is more so giving my thoughts. So overall, I had fun with this episode. I thought it was a bit overblown. It was a little over the top. And again, I still feel like the parameters of what the MCU are in terms of the multiverse and the rules are definitely being stretched very thin, and I feel like soon the entire fabric that keeps the universe together in the eyes of the audience is really going to start collapsing, and I don't think this episode helped much with that. But if we look at this as just an alternate multiverse, not even like the same multiverse as we get in the movies, I guess it was a fun and really over-the-top action pack. So overall, not one of my favorite episodes, but I did, again, enjoy kind of the insanity that was this episode. But again, I feel like them keep trying to tie this thing up, and I feel like, again, I don't think there are going to be too many more of these seasons, because at the end of the day, by the time we get to 2025 or whenever they have it in the next season, now we're going to be pretty close to Avengers 5. So I wouldn't expect too many more of these seasons, and I feel like them constantly trying to tie in the whole season together, I think it's going to get pretty repetitive for the audience. So that's one of the reasons why I feel like even that whole kind of trick they had by the time we get to the end of this episode kind of started to wear thin, and I feel like this show would still work better overall if we just had a bunch of really standalone, really clever episode twists. But it seems like more and more as we got towards the end of the season, they were selling it more off the connective tissue with Captain Carter appearing in these episodes, which I don't think is the right direction to go for the show, me personally. When comparing it to season one, I would say overall there were more episodes I enjoyed watching in the season, so I would put it slightly above. I would say that season one had more forgettable episodes, but also the episodes itself weren't as inherently broken as in season two. Although, again, I didn't think many of the episodes were that bad. But I think if you enjoyed season one, well, firstly, you shouldn't have listened to this if you haven't seen season two because there are spoilers. But I would give What If season two a B. I think, once again, if you enjoyed season one, you should check out, you know, this season. But I think if you weren't the biggest fan of the events of it, but you really liked certain episodes in it, I think it's absolutely okay to just watch separate episodes that you want to see. I feel like the essential ones that you need to see if you're interested in certain episodes are episodes 5, 6, 8, and 9 definitely tie together. And I feel like if you're going to watch any one of them, you kind of have to watch all four of them. Or at least if you want to watch, for example, episode 8, yeah, I feel like you'd have to watch episode 5 beforehand. And I feel like if you want to watch episode 9, after watching episode 8, you'd also have to go back and watch episode 6. But I feel like other than that, the other 5 episodes don't have too much connections with each other. I feel like you could watch each of them separately, or maybe I'm forgetting something. But overall, I enjoyed the season just fine. I think it was a pretty solid enough season of television. It's an anthology, hard to rate together, but that's kind of what I would give it. Thank you guys so much for listening, as always, and I want to wish you all a very happy new year. I don't know if I'm going to have another episode out in the next day. But look forward to my favorite movies of 2023 list, as always, with me, my most anticipated movies of 2024. And also starting, hopefully, in 2024, is a series I've been wanting to kick off for a while, where I pitch my very own comic book movies, starting off with quite a lot of DC films. But I'm going to announce that more in a separate episode, giving you what I'm really going to be doing once I've actually recorded one of those ever. I'm currently in the process of writing one, but I don't want to definitely promise I'm going to do it until I record one and see that it goes well just on audio without any visuals needed. Thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Thank you for listening to any one of my episodes in 2023, whether you listen to one or 30, if I did that many in 2023. It hasn't been my best year. But thank you for listening. Have a happy new year, and I will catch you all next year. Bye-bye.